Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. Scott Wright is back with us again today. He's been teaching about the different church age or ages of the churches and significant things the Bible and history has to say about them, and as well as current events as it relates to biblical end times. And we've seen recently just some pretty spectacular signs in nature. And we've seen a terrible earthquake in Taiwan, for instance. And then just a few days ago, at the time of this recording, an earthquake in all places, New Jersey. Right? I mean, New Jersey. But, you know, just a few days after the earthquake, we had a solar eclipse. And I guess the question I have for you today, welcome to the program, Scott.
Hey, how we doing, man?
Hey, man. Great to be here. On video today, praise God. Don't you love technology?
We love it. Hey, we're embracing every minute of it.
Amen. So I guess the question I have for you today is these signs in nature that we're talking about, how does that all relate to us Christians? Or is it just something that's a coincidence in this day and time in which we live?
Well, I actually think there's a few angles you can take to some of this. First of all, if you ever want proof of God, there it is.
Yeah.
You know, I heard somebody say this the other day with the whole solar eclipse thing, is that we're the only planet in the solar system that is the perfect distance from the sun, and the moon at times lines up as the perfect distance between the earth and the sun where this is even possible.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and that's why it only happens so ever so often, is because of the angles of the moon moving and all of that stuff, and you know how the rotation of the earth and the moon together work, but that it does every once in a while line up perfectly, and it also has to be the perfect distance. Mm-hmm. It can't just be that it's in line on the angle, but it has to be the perfect distance. And we're the only planet in the solar system that it happens. And it's the only planet that we know of in the universe that we know of, that what we can measure and look at, that we know that does that.
Yeah. Amen.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. And I was just going to say on the earthquakes, you know, and it's not just earthquakes. There's been a lot of other things that happened too.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the earth changes rapidly, but sometimes some of these shiftings, whether it's an earthquake or whether it's a storm, it also renews the earth and it refreshes it. And so it is part of what God gave to the earth to allow it to basically rebirth itself and to refresh itself. So, you know, just like when you have a bad thunderstorm, the lightning and stuff in the air actually cleanses the air. And so, you know, there's natural aspects that God built into that are actually good for the earth. So you can always take that angle of it, that it is part of a way that you could actually prove that God exists.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Concerning the solar eclipse, I read something, and don't hold me to these exact figures, 'cause I don't remember.
Sure.
But, if you take, you know, if you on a sheet of paper lined up the earth, the moon, the sun, and then drew, like dotted lines from the poles of the earth and then touch the diameter of the moon and go out to the diameter of the sun, you know, it lines up perfectly for the eclipse, because the sun is, I think they said the diameter of the sun is like 4 million miles or something like that, or 400 million miles, whatever it is diameter of the sun. But it is also like 4 trillion miles away, so that the diameter of the moon, which is like 4,000 kilometers or whatever it is, you know, the fours all matched, So that gave you the perfect distance of everything that that would allow the moon to totally block the sun except for the corona,
And
stuff like that.
I mean, to think about this, think of it from this angle. There is no way that something out of total nothingness and chaos could create such a perfect positioning. That'd be impossible. It's impossible.
Exactly. Amen. Amen.
So, I
And
mean, yeah, as I heard somebody say one time, I don't have enough faith to believe that there's not a God. Not when you
Amen.
not when you look
Amen.
at the evidence.
Oh,
The
yeah.
evidence is
Amen.
overwhelming that there is a God. At the very least, you got to acknowledge that there's some kind of a supreme being at work in the whole creation of all of this.
Yep. Amen. I was listening to a doctor, I think it's Baugh, Baugh, from the Creation Evidence Museum in, I can't remember the name of the town in Texas. But anyway, I was listening to his talk one time. I went to see him. And he said the odds of everything being created just the way it is right now, he said it would be like if you sent a tornado through a junkyard, and when it came out on the other side, everything was assembled into a 747 and it was in full flight. Those are
Exactly.
the odds.
My goodness.
But I believe the Bible is very clear that God will use spectacular events like this in nature to try and get our attention as we approach the end times. Do you see it that way as well?
Absolutely. I mean, what I believe is all of these type of things have happened over the course of, of human history. However, we're just seeing things more prevalent. It's more prevalent. And it's also more reported because there's more people on Earth occupying more space. So it's going to have a bigger impact. And I think in some ways, when Jesus was prophesying of all these things back in the Gospels, that he is actually part of what he's saying is some of this stuff may have been happening. It's just nobody occupied the space, so nobody knew. But that he was also sort of giving us a hint that the world would have a lot more people in it and occupy more space, and these things would become more prevalent in a general sense in people's lives. And that would be a very telling sign that he is about to come. And as we start to see these pop our populations grow, see, I think this is one of the major signs. Is that in a lot of areas we're running out of space. We are. And we're getting so many people. And as the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, there was a lot of people at that time. And the problem is man isn't growing closer to God. It's man is growing more wicked. And it's the exact same thing. So Jesus knew what was going to happen. He already understood how this would work because number one, he'd seen this before. He had already seen this happen. And God had already had to act at that time to correct what was happening. And now I believe that what the tribulation is in the end and Jesus coming back to establish this 1,000-year reign of himself being the head of the government, basically, and the head of all things on earth, is that man can't do it by himself. Even in the church ages, the seven church ages, if we pay attention to Revelations chapter 2 and 3, in many cases, Jesus is admonishing every age, almost every age. That just tells you that man does not govern himself very well.
Amen.
It, we just
Amen.
don't. We need in it, and it also shows our need for God. Israel tried it without a king, then they tried it with the king. Neither way worked well. I mean, they barely got through with Joshua, and it didn't go so well with the people of Moses, even though their children got to enter the land. They did not.
Yeah, neither
And
did
they were, it,
Moses.
yeah. And they saw the parting of the Red Sea and God destroying, basically putting Pharaoh and putting him in his place and who he was and all the signs and wonders that they saw in Egypt. They saw it all and they still fell away. That tells you the depravity of man's heart, that it literally takes God on the throne to rule over us for us to walk the way we're supposed to.
Yeah, amen. Going back to the eclipse for a second, though. I mean, I've seen reports, it was on the news and everything, that how animals were basically freaking out
Oh, yeah.
during the totality part. Yeah, people with, like, Fox News had people at the zoo in Arkansas, I think it was. And they said the elephants were trumpeting and, the monkeys were freaking out and, all this stuff going on all during the eclipse. But if you look at this, so were the people. I mean,
Yes.
just look at
Oh,
some of the
yeah.
things they were doing during the eclipse. They were basically worshiping the
Yep.
eclipse. I mean, they were worshiping the moon passing in front of
Well, think about it. How
the
many times in the Bible, even in the Bible, do we either it's either directly stated or indirectly stated. I mean, we can just go in the book of Deuteronomy and talk about idolatry,
Yeah.
and there's all kinds of messages about what to do and what not to do. But how many times in human history has man celebrated and worshiped the created instead of the creator?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
Yeah, I mean,
our job, our hearts are supposed to be aimed at the creator. The solar eclipse is really cool. I'm not going to sit here and lie about that.
right. Yeah.
I think it's really neat. But guess what? It's gone.
Yep.
And it certainly doesn't save me.
Yeah. Yeah.
If nothing
Amen.
else, it's a sign to me that there's some kind of a change coming, which is, I know we're going to get into that part of the discussion in a minute. But, you know, that whole solar eclipse thing came cross. If you see it, it came a nice path right over the United States. I mean, and it really covers it from south to north and moves in a nice west or easterly, from a southwest position all the way to a very tip of a northeast position. And people who are in that path. And it covers a lot of the US, and a lot of people in other areas travel to that area to see this thing and the total eclipse. I was in the 98% zone. And so it was almost completely blotted out. But, and it was cool, but I just couldn't believe how people were freaking out about it. And just almost like you said, they were worshiping it. And I just believe that we have to be careful with that. I mean, you know, we worship the creator, not the created. And I kind of
And
felt like maybe some of that happened during this time.
when I seen the path that this was going to take, and this is just Brother Bob's view on it, it started in the Bible Belt and went to the most liberal area other than California on the East Coast
Yeah.
to exit. And I looked at it like, could it be a sign that, you have shifted from believing the Bible to believing whatever it is they believe, and
That's
I just looked at, because that, could it be a coincidence that, it started in the Bible Belt instead of elsewhere? But to me, that just
there's no
like cemented the
coincidences.
fact God was saying, we're just wiping the slate clean right now.
Hey, there's no coincidences. I mean, and our next total solar eclipse isn't until 2045 here in the United States. And it'll move from west to east. It'll actually kind of come across and dip down to a southeasterly direction. I looked at that path. But as I look at all of this and I see kind of the total picture, I believe that we are the world. That we are shifting into a new world order. And I believe that. I think I don't and I don't think it takes a solar eclipse to show a transition. But I also think that this solar eclipse is a sign, could be a sign that as, and it's just one of them, that the United States is heavily involving itself in that world order. And it's shifting from, like you said, the Bible Belt. And this kind of hit me when you said that it's shifted from the Bible Belt to really embracing that new world order, the whole globalism aspect of life and where it's going to be about a global governance as all these other pieces take place, you know, and I wanted to bring this up because this is something important. in 2043 and 2044, and I vaguely talked about this one time on one of our podcast episodes, that we're going to have what's called a super tetrad mm-hmm. in 2043 and 2044. And you probably remember us discussing that. Folks, what a super tetrad is it's the four blood moons that everybody talks about. But in between and right after each blood moon that occurs is going to be a solar eclipse. Mm. I mean, I can give you the dates on them. They're right here. They're March 25th, 2043 is the first blood moon that'll fall in this. And then April 9th, 2043 will be the solar eclipse. And then September 19th, 2043, the lunar. October 3rd, 2043, the solar. February 28th, the lunar. March 13th, the solar. August 25th, February 28th. March 13th was the lunar. August 23rd, 2044, the total solar. And then September 7th, the total lunar. I mean, that's incredible. It has never happened. As far as what they have from their figures that science has, this is the first time it's ever happened. And it won't happen mm-hmm. again, they said, until 3707 and 3708.
Wow. So that goes right along with the Bible says about the sun will be dark, the moon will be blood red, and the sun will be darkened.
Yep. Well, let me give you a little more on this. Let's advance the clock 7 years, and we're going to have another series of blood moons in 2050 and 2051. I looked through all of that type of stuff, and that is the only 7 year period where this occurs, where it's 7 years apart. Mm. And that kind of makes me wonder. And here's another one. I'll give you another sign. Dubai, UAE, which we've discussed is very well Babylon the Great, has this master plan in which by 2040, they will have an entire city set up that'll be the most technologically advanced and kind of the center hub of the world at that time. And that is their aim. There'll be 5.8 million people living there. They'll have five urban centers. I mean, they're going to be doubling the size of green and recreational areas by 105%. Integrated service centers. There'll be 1.7 billion square feet dedicated to industrial and economic activities. Over 25% increase in spaces designated for educational and health facilities. 55% of the population to live within 800 meters of a main public transport station. And 60% of the Emirates land to comprise of nature reserves and natural areas. They're going to have national housing, comprehensive and flexible law. Over 400% increase in the length of public beaches. There you go, the city on the sea. Increase in space of hospitality and tourism activities by 134%. And it is the master, urban master plan of 2040 for Dubai. Mm. And it is going to be the richest, most technologically advanced city on earth. I want you to think about this. Go look at a picture of Dubai 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And compare it now.
Yep.
And then compare it to they've got visual plans of all of this stuff. I mean, and this is why I keep saying these dates, these late 2030s and those 2040s, is that there is a lot of just signs that are pointing towards that time period of this whole, it just feels like this whole world order. And think about it. Cryptocurrency is just finally starting to evolve into an accepted coin. You got governments now, their surveillance is finally getting to a different level than what we've ever seen that actually might work to do the things that have been prophesied about. You've got, we talk about the image of the beast and all that. It's not that far out of the length of time in front of us in which our phones could literally turn into hologram machines, where the visualization just pops up off of it, looks like something out of Star Wars. So all these things are adding up. And I think we have to awaken ourselves to the fact that some people who believe that, you know, they may have a different belief, like, oh, this stuff, you know, the real tribulation happened back in 70 AD, you know, right around that time period. And I've read all that stuff. I've studied it. I've studied all the different ends of it. And I realize there's a lot of theories out there, and I see some of the evidence of everybody's of all the different theories, but I just think the way things are lining up, it is now showing that this is what's going to happen. And Jesus said we would know the signs of the times.
That's right.
He just
Amen.
said the only thing we wouldn't know is the day and the hour. I mean, think about this. The wedding feast in Israel, they knew about when the groom was going to get to marry the bride. They knew pretty close. They just didn't know the exact minute that it was going to happen. That was it, the exact day and hour. But they knew the time period because the betrothal had already happened. And they always knew that, normally that would happen anywhere between 9 to about 13, 14 months. So they knew there'd be a time period. And if we go back to the also the parable of the 10 virgins, five of them are going to have their oil and five of them are not.
Yeah. Amen.
Folks, we don't want to not have our lamps with the oil in it. That is the power of the Holy Spirit working inside you. I was listening to something that Billy Graham was talking about the Holy Spirit and all the things that we can actually do against the Holy Spirit. But we do not want to be these people that are not being fueled and spirit-led, being
Yeah.
fueled by and being led by the Spirit.
Amen.
This should, if this doesn't, if this stuff doesn't awaken you with the earthquakes, eclipses, all these signs of heaven, all the signs on the earth, all the natural things that we were just talking about, and then just the things that humans are doing right now and the direction the world is going, if that doesn't awaken you, I don't know what does. The only thing we have left is to finish spreading the gospel to every place on earth. There are a few tribes, there's a few tribes in Africa and North Sentinel Island.
Yep.
I mean, that those are a few areas that still need to be preached, but most of the globe has been covered with the gospel at some point or time period since Jesus came back to the earth and or Jesus came to the earth, excuse me, and then obviously he died, ascended, and this all started with Acts 2 and then the Acts 10 vision when it was given over to the Gentiles. So, which is what started the church age. So now here we go.
Amen.
Now we're coming to an end, and God said there would be an end. And I believe that the reason the end is coming is because it's getting to the point where I think God knew that the church would eventually start to abandon the truth. And that is exactly what's happening.
Yeah, amen.
The internal church.
And in any race, right at the end is when everything begins to really accelerate. Because up until the finish, they're pacing themselves to go the distance.
Yep.
But then when the finish line is in place, the pace picks up and it goes even faster.
Yep, we
And
start sprinting.
Amen. And we have entered that area now where the sprint is starting to pick up at a rapid play at a rapid pace.
Yes.
Amen.
And you
Amen.
kind of sense that. And I, you know, and things like this eclipse and all that are just, they're little inkling. That's what they are. They're just signs that it'll happen. We still know that the gospel has to be preached in all areas, the total fulfillment of the Great Commission. And we're not quite there, but we are really close.
Yeah.
We are
Amen.
really close.
Amen. But before we leave today, I can't help but bring up what's happening in Israel right now. We always end up talking about Israel.
Sure.
And, back a few years ago, when the United States accidentally did a drone strike on an innocent civilian family, the guy was simply loading water jugs into the trunk of his car. Right? Remember that? Israel never came out and publicly criticized the United States for being reckless and calling for an immediate ceasefire and end of the war and all that. Yet Israel makes the same type of mistake, and suddenly our government's calling for an immediate ceasefire. So, here we go again. The entire world, including the United States, is now at odds against the victims of an unprovoked attack who are just trying to defend themselves. And, they're in a position now where the U.S. is discussing cutting back their aid and support. What's your thoughts on this?
I think it's blasphemy. I mean, I do not believe that we need to be dialing back our support in any way, shape, or form with Israel. That doesn't mean we wouldn't have, look, when something goes wrong like that's called an off-the-books meeting where we discuss something. But that is not a public stance that we're going to cut back aid or we're going to reshift something with Israel. That is just, that's wrong. And like you said, they're the ones that were attacked here. And I realize that we are sort of in a proxy war with Iran right now. I mean, we are, the United States is, and we've had several strikes over there and obviously doing some of our part, but we need to let Israel finish this, because I believe this, and I actually saw a posting from somebody that was kind of a more prominent Muslim figure, and I just forgot the name. He said, you know, what this is the equivalent if somebody would have, you know, had attacked Mecca. He said, that's just, we would defend that to no end. He said, we need to let Israel have what's theirs. This is theirs. I mean, this is a Muslim saying this. He is saying this area is theirs. And he's talking about that land, not only in Gaza, but Jerusalem, and making statements to that. He said, it's no different if they attack Mecca. Okay. We're going to defend that to the end. And so we need to realize this, and I'll say it this way. If somebody attacked, our two twin towers in New York, what would we do? Oh, I think we did do it. We went after them with a reckless abandon, and we got a little reckless ourselves at times with it. Yep. Did we not?
Yep.
To make sure that we got that. I'm not saying I don't like innocent casualties. Okay. What they call collateral damage or, you know, that sort of thing. I don't like it either. But the unfortunate truth is this, is that every once in a while, something is going to happen, but the people in Gaza were supporting these militants whose stance, their entire stance, their entire reason that their organization was formed was to simply rid the world of Israel.
Yeah.
That is their whole reason for existing, a couple of these organizations, is genocide.
Yeah.
How in the world can we in any way show any type of support to that? I get those civilians were in there, but why did they support these people in the first place?
That's right. There you go.
They called out to Israel, hey, we need this dealt with. They would have done that. Mm-hmm. And given their support, Israel would have helped them, guaranteed, because they want that area to be peaceful so that there's not an impact on the other parts of their country. But they didn't do that.
That's right.
So, you know, these are unfortunate consequences to decisions that were made. And, you know, I always caution people individually, don't ever get caught up in the heats of the moment.
Yeah.
You need to step back and think about what it is really happening here.
Amen.
And they didn't do that. And unfortunately, we are having some of these things. I don't like it either. But guess what? It is a part of war.
That's right.
I mean, if you want to really read about war, go read about World War II and World War I.
Yep.
And how horrible it was. There were so much friendly fire accidents and civilian casualties. I mean, they were on a scale that was unforeseen that we've never seen in human history before or since.
That's right.
And
that's what I go back to, because, you know, part of the war effort, if you want to call that, is to demoralize the population where they no longer support the regime that's in power.
Exactly.
You know, and part of doing that is, you know, look at what you have done type thing.
Yeah. Hey, General Grant, when Abraham Lincoln put him in charge, he said, I want you to go after him and I want you to end this war. He said, okay, yeah. This is what you asked. This is what I'm doing. They would go behind the lines. They would cut all the rails. They would burn the crops. They would burn the buildings. They would destroy the plantations, including the houses and their storehouses and whatever supplies they didn't take for themselves, they burned and destroyed. And they basically were destroying the South's ability to make war and to try to destroy their willpower to continue to fight.
Yeah, that's
They
right.
had
And
lots of
that's the whole point. Destroy their will to fight.
Yes. And it happened right here in the US. And people who are listening to this that live in the US, your relatives most likely were involved in that in some way, fashion, or form
Yep, that's right.
on one side
Amen.
or the other.
Amen. Scott, this has been so interesting, as usual, as we discuss the current situation and over in Israel and here in the United States, for that matter. I mean, if someone wanted more information or like to ask a question, how can they get in touch with you?
You bet. Just email me at GCC God Centered Concept 2038 at gmail.com. Notice that number 2038.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Coming up soon. Not too far away. Amen. So I'll put links all that in the show notes below. Folks, just drop down the show notes. Reach out to Scott Wright. Get in touch with him. Subscribe to his podcast, praise God. Be sure to purchase his journal and links to that's down there in the show notes as well. Start learning all about God-centered concepts that he specializes in. Amen. Do it right now before you forget about it later. Glory to God. Scott, I appreciate your time again today for coming on the program, sharing all this information with us. Man, it's always great to talk to you again.
Great to be on the show, and I look forward to more fun discussions that we will have, more fruitful discussions, I should say, in the
Amen.
future.
Amen. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Scott Wright and myself, Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.